You can start an argument pretty easily in our part of the country by talking about forest management. If that doesn't work, move on to cattle grazing. That is a very sore spot between conservationists and people who make money from the land and creatures living upon it. Recently published research out of Michigan State University outlines cattle production methods that can be friendly to the land. We have one of the researchers with us and a rancher who's been practicing holistic management techniques with cattle herds for some time now. Paige Stanley is one of the researchers on the Michigan State study, now a PhD student at UC Berkeley. Thank you for joining us, Paige.
Hi, Jeff. Thanks so much for having me on.
Sure. Spencer Smith is the rancher from Modoc County who founded the Jefferson Center for Holistic Management. Spencer, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you, Jeff. Pleasure to be here.
Good to have you both. So, Paige, what was the starting point for the research?
The starting point kind of came after a year that I spent doing a literature review during the first year of my master's at Michigan State. You know, I just spent a lot of time reading through, like, the current body of literature on cattle production, where they stood environmentally. And I just kept coming across this idea of soil carbon sequestration. And it had been, you know, talked about in just about every discussion and conclusion of the papers I was reading, but almost no one had included it in their models. So I kind of identified that gap in the literature, and that was the basis of where I started my research.
So is it less about management techniques and grazing and what they do to the land than about the very direct issue of soil carbon sequestration?
Well, they're tied together. So they're inextricably linked, in my opinion, especially when it comes to cattle. You know, beef cattle, as I'm sure you and most of the listeners know, can be extremely harmful to the environment depending on how you manage them. But the interesting thing is that depending on how you manage them, they can also have, you know, incredible benefits to the environment and especially for soil carbon. So I think just thinking about it in silos like that can be dangerous. And what is more beneficial is thinking of it as a system.
So when you say incredible benefits, you're talking about moving beyond just neutrality as in terms of, like, you know, just leaving the land as you found it. You're talking about making it better through cattle management?
That's exactly what I'm talking about. And I'm sure, Spencer, you can attest to this as well in your own operation. But, you know, healthy soils have benefits just beyond, you know, greenhouse gas mitigation. So, you know, forage productivity and just health of the land in general, as well as other ecosystem services like, you know, retaining water or cycling more nutrients and reducing the need for external inputs. All of those things together make this an incredibly sustainable system.
So, Spencer Smith, let's move on to you and tell us about what you do at the Jefferson Center.
Yeah, so the Jefferson Center is a savory hub similar to Michigan State University in that we offer support and training for farmers and ranchers across the Western United States in regenerative agriculture and holistic management, systems. So we help folks develop the type of production models that we're discussing today.
So you're not part of the study, I understand, but you already use some similar practices?
Correct, yeah. So we are ranchers here in not too far away from where you're at, actually, in Northern California, and we utilize holistic management. So we are moving our cattle for specific outcomes on the land in terms of water holding capacity, carbon sequestration, and biological diversity, all with the end point of improving soil health, because at the end of the day, that is where nutrition comes from. So if we can increase the nutrition of the forages and crops that come off of our land, we can produce a higher quality and more nutritious product to our consumers.
Cattle practices and healthy environments, the joined topics here on the Jefferson Exchange. Spencer Smith is our rancher in Modoc County and the founder of the Jefferson Center for Holistic Management. Paige Stanley is a researcher who did a lot of work on looking at cattle operations and the effect on the land and making beneficial those effects on the land. She's now at UC Berkeley. You can join the conversation on the Exchange at 800-838-3760 over the phone. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Paige, I understand that the studies at Michigan State looked at animals raised in two different environments?
Yes. I compared cattle that were grazed using adaptive multi-paddock grazing, or others refer to it as holistic management. So we had data, and, you know, we amp graze at the Lake City Ag Bio Research Station. we had about 5 years of data from that. But what I really thought would be important was to look at it in comparison to what is the norm for cattle production. And about 98% of all cattle produced in the United States are finished on feedlots. And so I thought, you know, the most interesting option would be to look at, you know, this nuanced type of grazing system compared to what would be considered the normal. And what we found was really interesting because, you know, no or very few other studies had looked at this type of grazing compared to feedlot.
So when we talk about finishing cattle, that phase mm-hmm. of beef production, what does that mean?
Finishing just refers to the last stage of cattle production. So it's when you're trying to put on more fat, more weight, to get them to a target weight or to a target finishing goal. There are other stages, mostly the cow-calf stage, which is just from the birth of the animal until it's weaned. And then some operations also decide to use a stockering or a backgrounding phase. And for a feedlot, that's kind of a transitional phase between when an animal is weaned and getting it used to eating grain or higher energy feeds so that way it can later go to the feedlot to be finished.
So what were some of the specific changes in practices that seemed to yield the best results from your study?
So AMP grazing compared to continuous grazing is so different. You know, kind of similar to what Spencer was saying, it's really aimed at land outcomes and coupling, you know, good environmental stewardship to cattle production and not trying to separate it. So in comparison to what would be the normal grazing standard or continuous grazing, it aims to move cattle more often. So it's more of a function of time. And that way the cattle aren't allowed to overgraze. They're not allowed to take a second bite of any forage. And then they are moved off into a separate piece of land, and they can't come back to that same piece until it's able to regenerate or regrow. And in that is how the carbon is sequestered. So it's really focused on, you know, good environmental outcomes versus good, you know, animal production. But the interesting part of it is that they're coupled. So when you focus on these environmental outcomes or increasing soil health, that subsequently leads to increased forage utilization, which can also lead to increased cattle production. So it's a great, you know, link.
So Spencer, how active do you have to be though, if you're a rancher and some ranch hands working these cattle to get them moving from paddock to make sure they don't overgraze?
Yeah, you know, that is typically one of the largest issues that folks have when they try and step into this type of management. They think that it's going to be just a lot of work. And what we found is that it across the board, everybody that you know, takes this on finds that it is less labor overall because the amount of time that it takes to move the cattle, set up pastures, whatever, is far less than the time that it takes to manage cattle in, you know, more of a slower rotation or set stock type of a situation due to the fact that the livestock are so much healthier. We've just totally... You know, when you're moving to clean pastures all the time like that and allowing those fields to completely recover before you come back, the health of the livestock goes way up. So it might take me 45 minutes a day to do all of my livestock work in terms of move the cattle to fresh feed, set up pastures and everything that I need to do compared to, you know, having issues with pink eye or foot rot or pneumonia that I just no longer have to deal with now.
Oh, because they are that much healthier overall.
Correct.
So is there no open range involved in the practices you do at the Jefferson Center? Is it just all contained private land?
No. We also have a permit that we run some cows on as well. And with that, we, you know, are following the same planning for recovery that we would in our inside or in our pasture situation, and getting good results as well, utilizing stockmanship and herding a bit more than electric fence in the range land situations. But like I say, again, getting good indicators from our monitoring that things are going in a positive direction.
cattle practices and some good results in the environment. Our discussion topic here on the Jefferson Exchange with Spencer Smith from Modoc County. He's a rancher and the founder of the Jefferson Center for Holistic Management, no relation to Jefferson Public Radio. Paige Stanley is a researcher now at UC Berkeley, but did a lot of work for years at Michigan State looking at cattle production and how it can be made environmentally friendly. You can join us at 800-838-3760 by phone with your questions and comments, or send them by email to jx@jeffnet.org. Paige, was the work primarily done in Michigan, or were there other places around the country where you looked at practices?
The work was all done in Michigan. We were lucky enough at Michigan State to have a lot of cattle at our disposal. So, you know, we were able to use cattle from the Ag Bio Research Center in Lake City and also from the on-campus feedlot. So we were lucky in that way. But definitely this needs to be replicated in other regions.
I was going to ask about replicating it in more arid regions like where we're talking about. I imagine in Modoc County, Spencer, you probably don't get more than about 12 inches of rain a year.
Yeah, we're getting about 14 to 16.
14 to 16.
We're
okay.
At here in Fort Bidwell, yeah. Mm-hmm. But still, like you say, quite arid. So actually, we find that it is more important to utilize holistic management or adaptive multi-paddock grazing type systems in more arid environments because you can see the benefits so quickly.
And so Paige, as you put this out there for people to consume and think about ways they might change their own practices, what are some of the keys? We got that you need to move the animals a bit more often, and as Spencer says, don't let them get a second bite. What are some of the other things that really seem to work well?
I definitely think that it takes some practice. And as a scientist, what I would really like to see is people monitoring for carbon on their operations. And I completely understand the challenges of that. But so many farmers and ranchers are beginning to utilize this practice. And, you know, the data is still pretty desperate in the science community. So I think, you know, in utilizing this type of practice and consulting with people who have had successes like Spencer, you know, we really need to get the soil carbon data out there and see what it looks like in other regions, because we can see, you know, just visually what the benefits are. For example, especially here in California where it is so arid, the water holding capacity would be a huge reason for ranchers to use this practice. But in order for us to make, you know, the sustainability claim as far as greenhouse gas emissions, we really need that data. So I would really encourage ranchers to partner with the science community in helping us promote it in that way.
When you were talking about the data is disparate, that was disparate with an I, not desperate with an E, right?
Yes, disparate,
okay.
Not desperate.
Checking on that.
But probably both are accurate.
Right. They could enter into it. So what kinds of devices do you need to measure carbon in the way that you're suggesting would be helpful?
You know, it's not actually technologically innovative. It really is just this soil probe that looks kind of like a pogo stick. And essentially it's hollow in the middle. You kind of jump on it and you extract, you know, 30 centimeters worth of soil. There is a little bit of a more refined method for taking bulk density measurement, which is it's a measure of how much soil you have in a certain area. But even then, it's just a little machine that you can hook up to the back of an ATV or a gator. And it can even be shared amongst farmers, or even, you know, it doesn't even have to be purchased by the farm. If you have a researcher come out, very likely they'll be able to bring their own equipment. So really, it doesn't come at much cost to the rancher.
Spencer, have you used this device yourself?
Yeah. So we're actually part of a program with Michigan State and Dr. Roundtree, where we're testing soil carbon and bulk densities to develop an idea of how fast and how much carbon we can sequester per acre over a given period of time.
Are there any trade-offs, Spencer, in what you do? I mean, you're trying to get good tasting beef to market at a price that people can handle. So you're looking for economy and sustainability and flavor all at once. Is anything getting lessened as a result?
No. Actually, our production goes up as soil quality improves. The bricks or the dissolved solids in the phloem of the plants is also increasing, showing higher nutrient density in the forages, so our cattle are gaining faster. So we're running more cattle, gaining faster, gaining weight faster, and creating a higher quality and healthier product in the end. So there really is no downside to managing for and having healthy soil.
And you have a fair number of training sessions, it looks like, at the Jefferson Center. So, I mean, about how many sessions and about how many ranchers show up each year?
Yeah, so that's a good question. We stay pretty busy offering courses up and down the West Coast throughout the year. I couldn't even tell you. I think we offer about 7 or 8 different courses a season or a year. And we typically get between 10 to 15 ranchers per course.
And do I see that there's some kind of certification that you offer for beef that comes from land that is using good practices?
Yeah, so along with Michigan State and a series of other scientific organizations, the Savory Institute has developed a robust monitoring protocol that will kind of meet the needs for the global scientific community to develop trended data that shows beef, well, all protein products, fiber, leather, and dairy coming off land bases that are regenerating. So we can now measure and show in a scientifically valid way ecosystem changes. And with that, there's a marketing platform called the Land to Market Program that will bring products that have that data associated with them to the consumer so that the consumer can, you know, use their purchasing dollar to be a part of regeneration of large, you know, large tracts of agricultural land across the world.
To vote with your wallet for good beef raising practices. Spencer Smith is with the Jefferson Center for Holistic Management and a rancher in Modoc County. Paige Stanley is a researcher originally from Michigan State University. Thank you both for joining us today on The Exchange.